You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm. It's Friday. A little bit longer till the weekend, my friends.
All right. We're getting there, man.
Exactly. Baby steps.
Do we have a show Monday?
We do.
Awesome. Yeah. Nothing better than holiday work. Time and a half, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Let me tell you about the Good Karma Company holidays. New Year's Day, and your next one's Memorial Day.
And I don't know about Wilhelm and I had to work New Year's Day.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Did you get a comp day?
I did.
Well, you know what? Actually, I think we had to work New Year's Day because the Browns had practice.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
It was on a Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I got a comp day.
I did, too. And my lady had eye surgery, and I was busy babysitting. So there's that.
And the Cavs fired their head coach on my comp day.
Yes, they did, because I was running the board.
Yes.
Not that I was angry about
that. No, you weren't bitter.
I'm happy to help. Team player like
that. That's right. That's right. Very unselfish.
Ralph has called in on a Friday. Ralph, I guess one of the only people working in the city that might be listening to the show, and he wants to talk about the Browns' offensive line. Hi, Ralph. How are you?
Yeah, you know, I got a question about that and also a comment about future direction. You know, what I don't understand is with two Pro Bowlers, Thomas and Mack, and Schwartz was a highly rated right tackle. I think he was rated number 7. And Batonio and Greco are real solid. And I know they've had some issues. They've had some injuries. They lost their line coach. But even before that, that offensive line was getting pushed all over the field. And on the run plays, they couldn't move anybody off the line in the first 4 or 5 games before any injuries. I don't understand how that line with the talent on it could have played so poorly.
Hey, Ralph, thanks for the phone call. It's a great question because the year before, they were one of the top running football teams in the AFC.
You're right.
If not the National Football League.
And I believe that Andy Moeller and what happened early in the season did in fact affect this room. And that's nothing against, you know, any other coaches that made up for the slack of Andy Moeller. But I thought, you know, Andy brought a certain swagger about him. He brought a certain experience. And I thought that the guys respected him to an extreme amount. And losing him was tough, kind of threw a monkey wrench in their system. But I think the caller has a point. You know, these guys are, as we've already displayed, they make a lot of money. Okay. And their play at times doesn't match, or their efficiency at times, not so much their play. Their efficiency as a group does not match the investment that you've made along that offensive line. Because at times you had Batonio, early second round pick. You've got Cam Irving, first round pick. Mitchell Schwartz, early second round pick. Greco's the only, you know, free agent signing, but even he was a third round pick of the St. Louis Rams. So it's tough. It's really tough to wrap your head around, you know, and who do you point the. That's what I think. Every Browns fan wants to do is understand the why behind we're so bad and how we stay so bad so long.
Matt, how much looking back do you think not being in that zone running scheme, the zone blocking scheme that Kyle Shanahan had put forth in 2014 and going away from that last year? And I know they tried to do kind of a hybrid of it a little bit, but it wasn't what they did in 2014. Did you notice a change? Because it seemed like especially Alex Mack really flourished with Kyle Shanahan's zone blocking scheme.
He did. I think, you know, it was like an identity crisis. You had, you know, DeFilippo, who at times wanted to play the power scheme or to run, you know, the hybrid scheme, as you talked about. They weren't all in on anything. And I think that's what Hugh Jackson really wants to define, and the more he understands these players and understands what they're good at, you're going to play to their strengths so that you can be in your wheelhouse significantly more than you are questioning what you do.
Well, and you're being in the wheelhouse the entire game.
Right.
I mean, we saw it in the Tennessee game with Kyle Shanahan. We saw it in the Atlanta game with Kyle Shanahan. It didn't matter how far down they were going to run the football.
Right.
And they ran the football, and it got them back into the game, and it ultimately won them the game. Whereas the first sign of adversity last year, throw, 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 throw.
Right.
I mean, literally, they went away from everything.
Well, and if you, I mean, when you literally go away from everything and you go throw, 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 you don't have a franchise quarterback, and you have what most people would have called the weakest set of weapons throughout the entire National Football League, you know, led by, you know, Travis Benjamin and Taylor Gabriel and Andrew Hawkins and Brian
Hartline. Guys that are twos and threes.
Guys that are twos and threes, not number ones. No one made that big play, and essentially you don't have a quarterback that can put a team on his back. So it takes the perfect play call, the right protection by that extremely high-paid offensive line, a quarterback to make the throw, the wide receiver to make the catch, run the right route, read the cut, just a lot of intangibles that you take for granted when you have a C level of talent but trying to operate, you know, in an A mindset. It's very difficult.
Let's go to John in Strongsville now about that offensive line. John, you're on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good, man.
You guys are there. You guys are in the building. Okay, I'm really sick and tired of hearing everyone who does. A lot of the public doesn't really know the details. You know, when Moeller was gone, George DeLeon stepped up to the plate, okay? And George is probably one of the best O-line guys I have ever met, all right? 40 years in the NFL, used to be a head coach in college, was with the Dolphins, was with the Chargers, was up east. Okay, George DeLeon is an excellent O-line coach. I've been in several of his seminars, and nobody even ever gives this guy any recognition. My first question is Jackson keeping George, or is he gone?
He's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. Okay, that's a a hell of a loss for the Cleveland Browns, I'll tell you right now. A hell of a loss. That man is a true old-school technician of the O-line. That guy is excellent, and nobody ever gave him any credit. Also, on the DeFilippo side, I don't see a creative offensive mind there at all. I understand what he had to work with, like you just mentioned, the wideouts and things like that, the size of the wideouts. Most of them would have been twos or threes on other teams, but his play calling and the way he would set up things on, you know, third and short, things like that, you know, DeFilippo, thank God he's not coming back. And that's my opinion. Right. But I just get a little irritated when no one gives George any credit, because you guys are there every day. You see, you know what I'm talking about. That man was an excellent O-line coach. I don't think we missed a beat by losing Moeller.
John, thanks for the call. I think George DeLeon is a great guy, and I think his track record speaks for itself. But I don't think the offensive line got better this year.
They should have showed me.
Yeah,
they got better, and if they're, how is it hard to say that? I don't really think they ever recovered from the adversity associated with, you know, losing.
And
Moeller.
Numerous guys on that line even said that. You know, when they lost Moeller, they lost a part of that unit, and you know, for the reasons, you know, whatever went down. You know, we're not going to get involved in that. We're not going to talk about that. But, you know, I mean, George was a good guy. I think, you know, you get a coach that comes in that wants his own people.
Of course.
And,
of
I
course.
Mean, that's, you know, that's really what it's all about. But I don't think the offensive line showed progress. One thing I'll say about Flip and his defense, because I think Flip's going to be a good offensive coordinator, first-year guy, knowing that you have to win or you're going to be out of a job.
Well, and
it's a one-year deal, basically.
You're right about that, and I think for anybody, any offensive coach, that especially for a young guy, to come in and have to deal and learn about the whole Johnny Manziel, where do I stand? Do I have to play him? Do I not?
And you have to play him.
And you have to right. But to have to deal with that as a first-year head coach, you're doing something for the first time, and yet you're being something is being forced upon you. Not only from a playing time standpoint, but you having to deal with it and answer those questions can very easily deter you from what you're trying to accomplish.
Yep. I think the guy had a lot of obstacles. And, you know, maybe did he panic at the first sign of, you know, things going awry? Maybe. I would expect that out of a first-year coordinator. You know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, it just with the things around him and the lack of weapons, I mean, it's not all on Flip. For last year. And by the way, the passing game was among the league leaders.
It was. And I wouldn't be surprised that if 2 years from now, John DeFilippo is not one of the most coveted offensive minds in the game. And if 5 to 7 years from now, if he's not, his name's not going to be shopped as a NFL head football coach.
Yep. No question about it. And a good guy indeed. 216-578-0850. Tweet at the show at Browns_Daily. The Friday forecast coming up at the bottom of the hour. More of your calls and tweets next on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I've been counting all my steps, all my no's just turned to yes. Silently,
you are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's Gibbs Wilhelm in for Zagura, who's golfing. He'll be back on Monday. The glue will be here on Monday because
yes,
he's here every day. Although you do have a vacation coming up.
I do. I'm excited about it. The boys were already texting me.
The Buckeye Cruise.
I've got a group. I'm a part of a group text message with Michael Brewster, Zach Boren, John Simon, who had a very good year for the Houston Texans, as well as
very underrated year,
Jake Stoneburner. So a lot of Buckeye names everyone should be familiar with, or just to name a few.
Champagne wishes on the cruise.
Jack Mehort, another guy.
You're sailing not out of Tampa this year.
Not
there
out
won't
of Tampa.
Be another incident where you're stuck at sea.
God no, we're going out of we're going out of Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yes,
you can actually take a ferry from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas.
How long is that, though?
2 hours. No. I take that back. It's about 3 hours.
Okay.
And I have taken it.
How much does it cost?
$20.
That's not bad.
No, it's not.
To Nassau?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
But then you got to pay $80 to go to Atlantis.
No. It wasn't Nassau. Because that's where Atlantis is, right?
Correct.
Yeah. No, we didn't go to Nassau. It's one of the outer
islands. My wife and I are discussing it right now. I think my wife and I have been to Atlantis twice, without kids.
Okay.
Both times we've gone without kids.
Good
and
move.
So 5 and 7, it's like we're about due to go to Atlantis and do it big. But then the fact of the matter is, like, the nightlife at Atlantis and the casinos,
correct,
are a great time. So I don't know who else we're flying along with us to sleep in the room next to our kids. Because I'm going to go have fun.
Yeah. Someone, the grandparents. Yeah,
somebody.
Just bring your brother.
Dr. Kurt.
He could watch the kids.
He would love it. But he'd beat me to the casino. We'd have to, like, swap out.
During the day, he's allowed to go wherever he wants.
He can go game.
Just at night.
Correct.
He's not allowed to do what he wants to do. But I feel like that's good. Let's go back to the phones. A lot of you all of a sudden chiming in here. Everybody cares now. 216-578-0850. Mike in Youngstown. Mike, you're on KNR.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, it's Friday.
Good,
counting down the minutes.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck to you on your cruise, Matt, when you go.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, couple questions. The one, how do you rate Noah Spence? Where do you think he'll go? I think he's going to make a tremendous pro. But you obviously playing and you know, being a Buckeye and knowing him, how do you feel about him, not looking at him as a Buckeye, but looking at him as a football player?
Well, I think
– you do look at him as a Buckeye.
I do look at him as a Buckeye. I count him towards Buckeyes being drafted in the first round simply because of, you know, his own personal issues is what led him to another opportunity, and he operated with, you know, his 5-star recruit talent both as a Buckeye and at – Western Kentucky. I think, and I'm going to follow along all the draft analysts that we've had, you know, on this show. He is the top, you know, non-defensive lineman pass rusher in this draft. And after the Senior Bowl, being the best there, I believe he's going to be, you know, a workout warrior, both at the combine and at his pro day. And I believe that he's probably going to go top 10, top 15, and be the first pass rusher off the board, non-inside linebacker drafted in the 2016 NFL draft. And I think he's going to make a good pro. And the reason why is the expectations for him as a young football player aren't going to be to go for 15 sacks. It's going to be, you know, along the same roads as I expect Noah Spence to play in the NFL the way Nate Orchard did in the back half of his year. He's just obviously you go top 15 in the NFL draft because you're a superior talent. There's a reason why Nate Orchard went in the third round and not the first round. And I think that will show. But I believe, you know, Noah Spence is a great talent. I enjoyed him as a Buckeye. I followed his career thoroughly, you know, since he's left. And I'm rooting for him as well on draft day.
Well, and Mike Mayock's got him as the number two edge rusher, right behind Bosa.
Right.
And Matt Miller the other day on our show said he thinks Noah Spence could do 10 to 12 sacks in his rookie year.
I believe it. I believe it. And that's what's interesting is, you know, as I said, you know, Bosa's going to be very interesting because, you know, he's 6'4", 285, and Noah Spence is probably, what, 6'3", 250. So their body makeups are different. Noah Spence, to me, and through both the calls, Nathan, and some of the analysts we've had on, Noah Spence is that stand-up outside linebacker that teams dream about. He's the DeMarcus Ware. He's the Von Miller of whatever outside, you know, linebacking 3-4 defense drafts him. But I think Joey Bosa has the diversity to get drafted into either a 3-4 or a 4-3, and moving him along the defensive line and creating the matchup problems to help Bosa win in situations is what makes him so productive.
Let's go to Rick in Northern California. Rick, you're on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, so I guess my main question is, how far up do you think our defense is? I mean, after watching that Super Bowl, those guys were so fast. I mean, they were getting shot out of a cannon. The kid from Carolina, the linebacker, I mean, and looking at ours, I mean, those guys seem like they're running in concrete.
It's tough to say. And I think you have to understand the parameters or the flexibility with which defenders play in their own scheme. I could tell you right now, and it's not too hard to tell yourself, but Luke Kuechly, no handcuffs. He just goes.
Yeah.
He sees it, and he goes. And because he's prepared in his film study, because he's practiced all week, and because he is a superior talent, he's right a lot of the time. And that's what allows him to make so many plays and to be destructive. And I think if you look at, you know, from a Von Miller sense and DeMarcus Ware, I think there's a yin and a yang of having those two outside linebackers, and that's why I'm in hopes of either A, signing a outside linebacker via free agency or drafting one in the draft that can come in and play early opposite Nate Orchard to create a yin and a yang here, because that is vital for why you play a 3-4 defense, because you want sack-producing outside linebackers. You don't want these guys having interceptions. You don't want these guys dropping into coverage, even though they need to be able to, and sometimes you want guys that can get to the quarterback because they're a glorified defensive end in a two-point stance. And so getting a guy or getting a linebacker and allowing these guys to go play, and that's what I can only ask for, is the job that Ray did from 12 to 13 when he was here and the rankings that we improved in the one season and the rankings that he's improved in Tennessee. Now, they've selected first overall or second overall and now first overall as a team following a year led by Ray Horton. But I don't think if you look at statistically where they've ranked, I think it's impressive what he's done. And for anybody out there, and I know that outside of the Cleveland Browns, it's tough to do, but, you know, Brian Arakpo, the guy that they signed via free agency, but name another defender, you know, for the Tennessee Titans. You know, name three. They don't. They don't have those names, but yet they've been very productive. And I just hope that he takes a lot of the thinking out of defense and let these guys go play.
And from all indications, that's what he's done in the past. That's what made him successful in Arizona, and that's what he's had success with his 1 year with the Browns and his couple years with Tennessee.
Yeah, and I think and it's the reason why, you know, Todd Bowles is now a head coach. You know, allowing the guys to go play and the players, and if you accumulate talent and put them in the right situation, allow them to make the plays.
Yeah, that's why they were one game away from going to the playoffs last year. Should have gone to the playoffs for all intents and purposes. 216-578-0850 at Browns_daily if you'd like to join us. The Mayock NFL draft position rankings, just a couple that stood out to me. There's like an Ohio State player on every single one of them.
There is.
Michael Thomas being the number three wide receiver. I don't know whether to be full in on this guy because you didn't see a lot from him this year.
No, you didn't.
But is that Ohio State? Or is that, you know, is he really that talented and just wasn't able to showcase that at Ohio State?
I thought when we talked to, I believe it was Matt Miller, I asked the question both about Braxton and Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is, of course, been a wide receiver by trade for a long time, so he's going to be much more polished than Braxton Miller. But if they have the talent, how vital is it for them to run those screeching 40-yard times at the combine, and then essentially follow that up with a great pro day time as well. I feel, to answer your question, that Michael Thomas kind of fell between the cracks of what Urban Meyer wanted to do at Ohio State, because Urban's been very adamant about the one thing that's going to happen is they're going to run the football, and that the zone, and that's why JT Barrett played such a role down the stretch, you know, with the zone read and going for 250 on the ground and essentially trying to go for 250 through the air. And in some cases, you know, what you saw of Michael Thomas, to me, transitioned very well into the National Football League. It just wasn't often enough.
Yeah, I mean, when he had his moments, when he would go up, I mean, his elevation
big
over guys.
Just, you know, running sharp routes, you know, winning in the possession routes as well.
And that just goes back to me shaking my head and going, what were they doing offensively last year?
How did you lose to Michigan State? I still can't get over that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's like a nightmare.
Correct. Nick Vinette, Ohio State tight end, ranked fourth overall.
Yeah.
Fourth best tight end. He has come out of nowhere.
He has. And I recall last year around this time when Jeff Heuermann, you know, was leaving and essentially I think he got drafted third or fourth round by the Denver Broncos, either tore his Achilles or his ACL out for the year. But he was going to play a huge role with the Denver Broncos as a second or third tight end. Still gets a ring, which is awesome. Go Bucks. But Nick Vinette, opposite Joe Heuermann, was like, you know, an up-and-comer, more of the blocker. But Vinette, I think, is just – it just – Urban Meyer doesn't feature a tight end in his offense. It's about the running back. It's about the quarterback.
Is that like Gary Barnage, Carolina to Cleveland?
Correct.
And
it is.
And Barnage not doing it and all of a sudden having a Pro Bowl year.
It really
like,
is.
It
really is. And I think that for Vinette, he's a guy that's going to come in almost like Heuermann and be a second or third tight end somewhere. I don't think he's as talented as the Williams kid. What's his first name that came out of Minnesota last year? That the Ravens drafted, if you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
okay,
I do.
The Williams kid.
Yeah.
He was the top tight end coming. I don't think he's Max Williams.
Thank
he's
you.
Not as athletic and productive as Max Williams was, but he's a step behind him, and I think a solid mid-round pick.
The other one that stood out to me is linebacker. He's got Jalen Smith 1 still, which I don't know how. When the injuries,
I think people are still going to take him as high. Not, I'll say he's going to be drafted about five to seven.
He was a top 5 pick.
Correct. He's going to be drafted in the top 15 this year, even injured.
He's got Miles Jack number 2, Reggie Ragland from Alabama 3, and Darren Lee at 4. Should Darren Lee be higher? Should Darren Lee be number 2 on that board?
No, because I like the.
A lot of people say he's the second best Buckeye coming out.
Right. And I think that could be true. Matt Miller said the same thing, that, you know, he's going to play as a rookie, but not necessarily play, you know, 3 downs. And I agree, simply because with all the sub packages that are being used right now, and that is what Darren Lee did so well and what made our defense so great, is Darren Lee could make a tackle, sack the quarterback, and cover a slot receiver in 3 consecutive plays in a row. And it just blows your mind. So it doesn't allow you to have to, you know, shuffle in a nickel cornerback, because you got a guy like Darren Lee that's so great in coverage. He's going to play that same role. And I thought Matt Miller also referenced Ryan Shazier. Darren Lee played Ryan Shazier's position. And Shazier, a lot of people were tough on him because he was just so slight and lean.
Sure.
But he ran like a 4.3, 940. And if Darren Lee runs something close to that, they're going to know he can run with every tight end in the National Football League and cut and cover in zone certain receivers, as long as he conceptually understands what they're doing defensively. So that's impressive to me, but I like Ragland a lot the same way I like Mosley, and I like the kid in Baltimore now. Who's the inside linebacker in Baltimore? His name escapes. The other Alabama linebacker.
Correct.
That was Rookie of the Year in 2014. I like him. I think Ragland goes right along there. Miles Jack was very productive.
You and I were talking Miles Jack yesterday, though. He's such a freak.
He is a freak.
And you're just like, where does he play? Where does he fit in on a defense? And he's the number 2 linebacker.
I know. It's gonna be the same way a lot of guys get linked to a certain organization very early in this process, and that's in the next coming weeks, maybe out of the combine. Miles Jack is going to be one of those guys that has about 3 teams that are absolutely enamored with him, that are going to do everything they can to get him because they feel like he's that one player in their defense that their coordinator is going to feature, and he's going to be a Pro Bowler in 2 to 3 years.
We'll break down more of this as we go. We are into the final half hour of today's show. We'll get a timeout when we come back. It is the Friday Forecast. Gibbs and Wilhelm in for Zagura on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, glad you're with us on this Friday. 20 minutes to go, Wilhelm.
19.
Hey, don't open that till 3 o'clock. Control that diet, Dr. Pepper.
Oh, you thought, yeah, I thought it was a
uh-huh.
beer.
Uh-huh. Shame on you for thinking
Wilhelm,
that.
Wilhelm, come on, come on.
I believe it's time for the one and only Friday Forecast. And for that, the MC of today's ceremonies.
With a little NFL Films music.
I was going to say, what is this?
Yeah. It's called World Beater. Get you in the mood, man. Got to ask some questions.
I am going to add to our music selection. I'm going to add the Tecmo Bowl music.
Oh.
I found
it. Did you really?
I'm going to add the Tecmo Bowl.
That'd be phenomenal.
Do you know what Tecmo Bowl is?
Of course I do.
Did you play Tecmo?
Did you play it?
Of course I did. Bo Jackson, like unstoppable.
I was going to say, Herschel Walker.
I didn't know if it was like out of your age range.
No, it's in there.
Although we're not far apart. But okay.
All right, guys, you ready to roll?
I think we're ready.
Number one.
Big voice.
Yes. On the forecast, I want to know what's more exciting for you guys to watch: All-Star Saturday night in the NBA or the actual NBA All-Star game on Sunday?
They still play games on Sunday?
They actually still play the game on Sunday.
And it's like Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night, like at 9 o'clock, like 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
I'll be honest with both of you guys. If I were to watch either, it would be the Saturday night and not the All-Star game. But if I happen to turn on the All-Star game for any matter of minutes only.
Yes.
The only thing that I would be looking, actually, two things that I would be looking at is A, what do the uniforms look like this year? Okay. And B, what shoes, or who's got the best designed all custom All-Star shoes for the game? Because, you know, all those guys that have their own custom shoes or have their big deals with Nike, you know, they do these exclusive colors, exclusive designs just for the All-Star game. And being a shoe guy and a Nike guy my whole career, I'm very in tune to the shoe game.
The priorities, right? What about you, Gibbs? What about you?
I'm a little torn because I would say the game, because Saturday night the dunk contest just sucks now.
Yes.
Everything else I do like on Saturday night. And by Sunday night, I don't want to watch the NBA All-Star game. You know why? Because I think I played defense and I gave a crap about defense.
Yes.
And the other thing about it
is no one plays defense.
And, like, I know Carmelo Anthony is a great talent, but, like, him making the All-Star game year after year, it's like.
And not only that, but then I got to watch another swan song Kobe thing. They'll do some tribute.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the whole week. Really, the whole weekend's going to be all Kobe.
Not a Carmelo fan either.
No, I'm not either. I'm with you. I'd much rather watch. I'll put up with the dunk contest, but I like the skills competition. I love the three-point shootout. Yeah. I would much
Who's
rather do that.
Who's competing in those this year, by the way? Anybody that we know
on.
Of?
Let me look
hold on,
and
yeah.
see.
Okay. Gibbs, while you do that, Google it, or as we say, grossy it. We'll get to question two.
Number two.
All right, guys. The Grammy Awards are this Sunday night. Boy, the Grammy Awards.
Actually, Monday.
Is it Monday? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they moved
Sunday.
It to Monday.
Monday. Okay. All right. So the Grammy Awards are Monday night. We don't have a forecast before then, so we got to ask. Oscars or Grammys, which of the award shows would you most want to attend in person?
That's a good question. Very good question. Let me think.
Will you watch either one?
No.
He's not going to watch the the All-Star game, not going to watch the Grammys.
The maximum amount of TV that I watch in probably a week's time is 7 hours. Maybe 8 a week.
Okay.
If I were to watch either, do I want to see music stars or do I want to see actors? You know who I'll actually see? I would want to say I would love to see the Oscars. Because to me, music people, music personalities, musicians are just more outlandish and out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are so many more questions in my head about actors and actresses like what makes them tick to get in their head and like rub elbows with them and the people that they've worked with in their career or the directors they've worked with in their career, that I would be much more in tune to want to hang with the actors and like soak that in than the wild and crazy extremes of music.
Jason Gibbs, I know your answer because you've actually held a Grammy Award in your hand.
Yes. Leanne Womack's husband was not pleased that I just swept her onto the dance floor and started dancing with her and held her Grammy while we danced.
Well, maybe she didn't sing. She won the Grammy for "I Hope You Dance." So
it
you were doing what she told you to do.
Meanwhile, my good friend from Universal Records was like, "Oh my God, what are you doing, dude? Everyone's looking at you." And I'm like, "Doesn't matter. I'm on a flight back to Cleveland at like 3 hours.
Don't forget about me quickly."
Exactly. I love the Grammys. I just the movies. Some of those movies are so abstract, and I don't know them. You know, I agree with that.
But I think for me, it's not so much about the movies that might win this year, because it's like, you know, these Sundance films that are going to win that'll never hit the box office in the United States. So I agree with you on that. But I think the who's who of that industry will be there, and that is what intrigues me.
And let's also remember, Gibbs, I mean, you know, you like the Grammys because your gal Taylor Swift is going to be there.
Yes, of course.
I mean, you know, and, you know, in case any, you know, Matt Wilhelm, maybe you didn't realize this, but
Taylor Swift is going to have the best concert of all time at Avon Boot Shop.
Yes. So, you know, if you
now. That sounds like a familiar voice.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe you weren't aware that Taylor Swift was going to have the greatest concert of all time. So,
yes, yeah. Exactly.
You know what? I have to say Grammy. I mean, much as I do love movies and I love the Academy Awards, I love watching it. I think, you know, the amount of talent and different genres of music that are there to perform and everything, I think I'd want to be there for that.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I'd still go with the Oscars to edify my point. But the one thing that I love about the Grammys is when two different genres of music, when they all get together, like Taylor Swift performs with Jay-Z or Lil Wayne with like Linkin Park, like those collaborations that happen only at those awards things, those are can't miss TV for me.
See, and I got to see when I was I've been twice to the Grammys, lucky enough to go, and the one year it was Eminem and Elton John.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I mean,
I remember that.
You know,
I do too.
I got to see Madonna, which, you know, I mean, it's artists like that am I going to go see Madonna?
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, but just to say, wow, it was pretty awesome. So, I would definitely go Grammys.
What, Oscars New York, Grammys LA?
No, they're both in LA.
Everything's LA.
Which is great because it ends like 11:15 Eastern time, but it's only 8:15 on the West Coast.
Oh, the night's just begun.
Yeah. Yes. You get a little pre-party, and then you get a little big after-party.
All right, time for one more, guys.
Yes.
Number three.
All right. You know, it's cold. We've had our first major snowfall of the year this week. If you could get away to one warm destination for 72 hours, so from now until basically showtime on Monday, where would you go?
Well, duh. BuckeyeCruise.com. Buckeye Cruise. I would go on a Buckeye Cruise. A, because you are going somewhere tropical, and this year we happen to be going to Jamaica. If the weather happens to be bad, which I have a feeling it might, you can enjoy the amenities of an amazing cruise ship.
Yeah.
I have had two good cruises. But what reels this all in is the fact that you are there supporting something so wrong in the world, which is cancer, but doing something so good and raising a lot of money to support not only the university that I was a part of, but Urban and Shelley Meyer and their Cancer Research Fund and the James Cancer Research Center. They're on the campus of the Ohio State University. So all those things make me so proud to go on the Buckeye Cruise each and every year, because
it's a great opportunity.
It's a great opportunity, and it's like it's good to see the guys, but it's so great to connect with fans that have stories about your career, and even more so than that, the number of people that have been on that cruise almost every single year that tell you their story of how either A, cancer touched their life and they overcame it to go on this Buckeye Cruise, or it touched the life of their loved ones and, you know, they live to tell that story, which is always so great.
I'm going somewhere all-inclusive. Pay for my booze, pay for my food, and allow me to be happy and sit on a beach or at a pool.
As long as he has his base in a tanning salon. But he's got to have his
once
base.
Or twice, Will.
Because the all-inclusive.
I'm not talking
well, yeah, yeah, yeah,
because
no,
if he
yeah.
burns
right.
while getting.
Then you're miserable.
While he, get, while
right.
he gets liquored
it is a
up.
Miserable week.
And eats all the food in the world.
So you have to pre-tan, Gibbs.
The base.
Just one or two. You got to build a base. Dino, you can't go somewhere tropical.
I can go somewhere
Dino,
tropical.
You can. You would need a base.
I need the SPF, you know, 75. Yeah, which is fine. I come prepared.
The zinc oxide on the nose.
That's right. Yeah, that is so Wilhelm. That is so mean. Otherwise,
Dino,
I will fry.
I have not been on. I've not been to a warm climate with you. I've just traveled for games, and those stories in itself are a whole nother show.
Oh, they're legendary.
Yeah.
Anywhere in particular, though? You didn't really answer the question.
You know, I love the Riviera Maya.
Oh, there you go.
Big fan of the Riviera. Again, give me a beach, give me all-inclusive, and I'm a very happy, happy person.
See,
I'm a low-maintenance guy.
I'd say Hawaii, but 72 hours is long enough. I've been traveling. I've been spending as much time traveling there.
New additions to the Buckeye Cruise. Brian Hartline will be on the cruise this year.
Oh, nice.
He's
a Brown and a Buckeye. Jeff Hierman, the guy I just mentioned going. Michael Bennett. Evan Spencer. Terrence Dials. The old Buckeye basketball
player. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
And Katie Smith.
Oh,
another
female
basketball
legend.
Yeah.
Legend going on the cruise. First-time cruisers.
That's great.
Nice.
And Arch, the only two-timer, will be on the boat.
The GOAT. The greatest of all time.
People try to duplicate, but they can't.
They can't.
They don't come close.
There's only one.
All right, we got to get one final timeout in. Just real quick, one big shout-out to my future stepdaughter, Marissa. She just got her temporary driving license.
So what dealership are
she'll
you going
to? She'll be driving
her
mother's car.
Oh.
Let's just get that out of the way right now. Congratulations, Marissa. Go enjoy your weekends. All right, break time. We'll be back to wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. All right, we're back here on ESPN 850 WKNR, ready to wrap things up. Hey, real quick, three-point shootout contestants, Steph Curry, James Harden, Klay Thompson,
Curry.
Middleton,
Curry.
Kyle Lowry, J.J. Redick, Chris Bosh, Devin
Curry.
Curry.
Booker.
Just Curry. Steph Curry.
Slam dunk, Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, Will Barton, Andre Drummond, Taco Bell skills challenge, DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, CJ McCollum.
You know it's Draymond, not Draymond.
Sure,
right?
I'm just going on. We're running out of time. Carl Anthony Towns, Isaiah Thomas, Jordan Clarkson.
Forget Draymond. Anybody
I like
but
Steph,
Draymond.
I like
that's a fun night, though.
How about I'll take for how about, I'm in for how about that. For three beers? I'll take Steph Curry. You take the field in 3-point contest.
Done.
Let's go.
For Matt Wilhelm and Dave DiNatale, I'm Jason Gibbs. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back with you on Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.